In verse 54, we find Peter, after Jesus has been arrested, kind of following along at a distance. And he wants to be close enough to see what's going on, to know what's happening, but at the same time, try to remain distant enough that he feels safe and feels like he can still do what he wants to do. And I feel like this section of Scripture is really kind of a good analogy of how so many like to live the Christian walk. Like to be close enough to Jesus to feel connected in some way, but yet keep a safe distance and try to be at a place where they can still do the things that they would like to be able to do. And we find Peter, who earlier in the chapter knew this was coming and yet said it would never happen, doing the thing he never thought he would do. And I would imagine for a lot of us, we have been there at some point in life. And so Peter, as he has asked three different times if he is one of the followers of Jesus, he denies with increasing intensity, no, I'm not who you think I am, and I don't have anything to do with this man. And at the third time, here's the crow of the rooster. And what we have recorded in Luke is a little different than what we have recorded in other places because it says that Jesus saw him. And we have this imagery of eye contact. I've wondered lots of times if we could, in those moments where we feel like we're following along at a safe distance and doing the things we need to do, and yet we have a moment where we realize we have fallen short in a big way, what if we could have that moment of eye contact with Jesus? How much more obvious would our sin and our trouble be to us? And we have the reaction of Peter that once that eye contact is there, he goes away and he weeps bitterly. And he is a broken man at this point. Jesus continues to be beaten, to be mocked. It says that the soldiers, the people who had him and were mocking and beating him, that they blindfolded him. And they would hit him from different sides and then mock him by saying, why don't you prophesy who it is that's beating you? And then he's sent before the council, the chief priests and the elders of the people and the scribes. And they continue to question him. And their question that they just hone in on is, are you the Christ? And Jesus answers them probably in the way they don't want to be answered, which is, what difference does it make? Because if I tell you, you're not going to believe it anyway. And they continue to press him. And finally, he says to them, you've said so. And now they have their moment. They have something that they feel like is a charge of blasphemy. Who is this man to say that he is the Christ? And so they send him to Pilate. Now, Pilate is the Roman governor, and the Romans have no real love for the Jews. They just kind of look at them as folks that are trouble and something they need to keep under control. And so Pilate begins to question Jesus, and he realizes very quickly that there's something different about him. And that so much of the time that he may spend in trying to judge those of the Jews, he realizes there's something about him that's not like these other folks that have been sent to him. And he can't find anything wrong with Jesus. He can't find anything that's a problem, nothing worthy of what they're asking him to do. And so he sends him to Herod. And Herod begins to question him, and Jesus doesn't say anything. And in the midst of it all, we find the chief priests and the elders of the people and the scribes all just continued to try hard to push this forward. And in the midst of it all, they feel like they're in control of everything, and yet they are just playing into the hand that God has already planned. And so Herod sends Jesus back to Pilate again, and Pilate still can find nothing wrong in him, and he just repeatedly wants to just give him some sort of slap on the wrist and let him go, but the people are just unwilling to let it go, and they continue to cry out, crucify him. So Pilate feels like he has an out here, maybe. They have this tradition there in the Romans that they would let somebody go each year at this time. And so Pilate has this plan of, well, why not just let Barabbas go? He's a guy who's started an insurrection, and he's someone that surely they would rather have Jesus let go than this guy, because this is a horrible guy. And he says, well, what about Barabbas? And they continue to cry out, crucify him. They want Jesus crucified. Says in verse 18 of chapter 23 that they all cried out together, away with this man and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection started in the city and for murder. And Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. A third time he said to them, why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving death. I will therefore punish and release him. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified. and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted, and he released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, but for whom they ask, but he delivered Jesus over to their will.